the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, I'm sure you find it so striking, so many things in the sacred liturgy, but one thing I point out in particular is the Easter candle. It was brought into the church when everything is pitch black. And when we hear that intonation by the deacon, Lumen Christi, the light of Christ, we kneel and genuflect to this very powerful symbol, a blessed symbol of our Lord, the Easter candle. And you may have seen it as we were having the blessing of the Easter candle in the vestibule, how I was carving five wounds into it. With the knife, I made those five holes and put in a grain of blessed incense. And then we have the wax, the red wax nail, put it on top of that, holding the incense securely in place. And of course, the symbolism there is unmistakable. Christ kept five wounds. Why? According to our human understanding, his entire body should have been completely glorified with no trace of his passion and death. But Jesus, knowing far better than us, far better than we know, is keeping those five wounds for all eternity. And so, every time we look upon the Easter candle, we are reminded of those five wounds right now in his most sacred body. He miraculously kept them. The other wounds miraculously disappeared, but he wants us to never forget. And even for all eternity, God willing, we persevere to the end and see him face to face. As we worship the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we will be eternally reminded of those five most glorious wounds, endured and suffered for us. As I said, the candle was brought in when everything is in darkness. And my dear friends, that is the way we all are without our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in darkness. We stumble around. We lose our way. And this is why the world has so many problems, because it rejects Christ. Yes, it rejects him who is the Son of the Father. It rejects him who is the way. It rejects him who is the truth. It rejects him who is the life. But we don't, and that's why we're here tonight. But we are again so powerfully reminded by the liturgy how much we need our Lord. We are lost without our Lord. He's our everything. And our greatest mission in life is to reproduce his holiness in us. St. Paul was so conscious of this, and that's why he writes to the Colossians, "We have died, and our life is hidden in Christ." That's how real Christ has to be on a daily basis for all of us, to imitate his virtues more and more in a daily way. St. Paul also talks about, and he's referring to the catechumens, going down into the water, being baptized, and coming out a resurrected life. And he says that that symbolizes that death to sin by that submersion that was done in the early forms of baptism, you know, the full immersion. And then we come out with a resurrected life. In other words, a life that is trying to copy Christ on a daily basis. In the epistle for the masses on Easter Sunday, we will hear St. Paul saying to the first Corinthians, purge out the old leaven. Purge it out. Get rid of that old, sinful, self-centered way of living that we are so prone to do. Put on Christ. St. Paul doesn't want us to forget about what Jesus suffered and died. And so when he writes to the Galatians, he says, with Christ I am nailed to the cross. I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me. So, my dear friends, how beautiful this night we are reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ so powerfully. The liturgy expresses the joy of the resurrection. There's really nothing like it. It never gets old, does it? The beauty of the church's sacred liturgy. It is absolutely beyond me how this could have been given up for the Vatican II Protestantite liturgies. It's beyond me. I'm sure it's beyond you too. How could they give up this for something that's so poor and inadequate and even heretical? So we believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we should believe in it, among other reasons? Because the enemies of our Lord believed in it. Later on in St. Matthew's Gospel, you may wish to read it for yourselves. Remember that very strong guard had been put there around the sepulchre. And not by the Romans, who really didn't care that much one way or the other about this Jesus of Nazareth. They were just there to do their jobs. And so when the enemies of our Lord went to Pilate and said, remember that seducer said he was going to rise from the dead. We can't let that happen. We can't let it look like it happened. His disciples will come and steal his body. So they were asking for a Roman guard. And Pilate says, you have your own guards. Put your own guards there. Now, these were the ones that were the enemies of our Lord, that really did, it really did matter to them. And as we know, when the resurrection took place, they were struck senseless. They were knocked out upon the ground. When they came to, the tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled back. They had utterly failed in their job. And so they run to the high priests and the upper dignitaries that were our Lord's implacable enemies. And they said, this is what happened. They didn't see the resurrection, but they were not, because they were knocked senseless. And here's where it gets so interesting. Those chief priests, leaders, they realized, yes, it did happen. And so St. Matthew's Gospel says they paid these guards a very large sum of money to say that they fell asleep, they didn't do their job, and that's when the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. St. Augustine mocks this very roundly. He says, oh, so now we're going to depend on sleeping witnesses. How absurd is that? But they believed because they did not accuse these guards of failing in their duty. They paid them a lot of money to tell a lie. So this shows us, my dear brethren, that God works in mysterious ways, that when it looked like the greatest security was there to prevent anything from happening, again, not just Roman guards, guards of the temple, those that were hired or were already in the employ, right when it looked like it was impossible for anything to happen, God says, watch what happens. Let that be an inspiration for us throughout our lives. We too can be plunged into great despair, or if not despair, over anxiety, wondering how things will work out. We fall into that despondency which the apostles fell into. But let us never forget that God knows what he is doing. And in the greatest of suffering, in the deepest of sorrows, there was all the more joy and all the more glory. Let us rejoice in this day with our Lord Jesus Christ, with his most joyful mother, whom we salute with, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. And let us go forth and tell others about our resurrected Lord. And let us remind everyone how much we need our Lord Jesus Christ. May he live evermore within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.